It was Sunday, which was Steve Brixton's least favorite day of the week, and the sun was setting, which was Steve Brixton's least favorite part of a Sunday. But Steve was on his living room couch reading Bailey Brothers No. 19, The Strange Case of the Strangest Stranger, which was part of Steve Brixton's most favorite series of all time, The Bailey Brothers Mysteries. The Bailey Brothers Mysteries were 58 high-octane adventures featuring Sean and Kevin Bailey, two quick-thinking, hard-punching teens who never met a case they couldn't crack, a motorcycle they couldn't ride, or an avalanche they couldn't cause and subsequently survive. Sleuthing ran in their family. They were the sons of the great American detective Harris Bailey, and they were terrific sleuths in their own right. There were 58 thrilling and perfect Bailey Brothers mysteries in all, starting with Bailey Brothers No. 1, The Treasure in Trouble Harbor, and ending with Bailey Brothers No. 58, Spacejacked, all written by the same author, MacArthur Bart. MacArthur Bart, a.k.a. America's Mystery King, a.k.a. Steve's Hero, had also written the book Steve loved above all others, The Bailey Brothers Detective Handbook. The handbook was packed with real crime-solving tips, stuff like how to make a plaster cast of a scoundrel's shoe print, and surefire methods for defusing some kinds of time bombs, basically all the high-level super sleuth stuff. Steve had the handbook pretty much memorized, but he still carried it around with him wherever he went. In fact, Steve had all the plots to the Bailey Brothers mysteries memorized, but he still liked reading the books second and third times. Plus, it was research. Since a few weeks ago, Steve had officially opened his own business, the Brixton Brothers Detective Agency. Steve didn't have a brother or even a sister, but putting brothers in the name of your detective agency was a great way to make it sound totally ace. Right now, Steve didn't have a case to work on, which was why he was lying on the couch, the living room aglow with the last of the day's sun, and finishing Chapter 18 of his book. A gang of car thieves had just captured the Bailey brothers and was holding the boys in a sea cave hideout. "You creeps will never get away with this," dark-haired Sean Bailey hollered. "Crime doesn't pay." The large lawbreaker with the salt-and-pepper beard looked up from the game of cards. "It doesn't, eh?" he growled. "Then how's come we got enough touring cars and roadsters stashed away in the old barn to make a fortune?" Sean and Kevin exchanged a knowing glance. Now they knew where the lawbreakers were stowing the stolen cars. If only they could get free and notify the police. Behind their backs, the brothers redoubled their efforts to undo the knots that bound their hands. "Gin!" shouted the tattooed crook, slapping his cards on the table. "I win again!" The bearded hood turned to his fellow criminal and frowned. "Go sit on a stalactite, Charlie."
I think you mean stalagmite," interrupted Kevin, who had taken honors in geology. "Stalactites grow from the roof, and stalagmites grow from the ground."
"An easy way to remember," Sean chimed in, "is that the C in stalactite stands for ceiling, and the G in stalagmite stands for ground."
"Enough," roared the bearded lowlife. "I'm getting tired of all this jabbering. Charlie, gag this pair of goody-two-shoes until Smokestack Samuels gets back and tells us what to do with 'em."
The man called Charlie stood up and grinned. Gripping two oily rags in his tattooed hand, he limped over to the corner of the cavern where Sean and Kevin were kept.
"This ought to muffle yous, too."
He sauntered up to Sean first and reached for the boy's face. Just then, Sean untied the last knot and freed his hands. Quickly, he brought his fist around in a powerful haymaker punch to Charlie's solar plexus. The goon collapsed on the limestone floor.
"You KO'd him, Sean," whooped Kevin. "Coach Biltmore would be proud."
Sean grinned and removed the knife from Charlie's belt. He hurried over to his brother, making sure to hold the knife with its blade pointing down while he ran, and quickly sawed through Kevin's bonds. Meanwhile, the big bearded baddie was lumbering toward them, holding a blackjack in his left hand.
"It's going to be fun whacking you two over the head," he snarled.
"One, two, three," counted Kevin. And at once, the two brothers bum-rushed their opponent. The large man flew back against the cavern wall and slumped to the floor unconscious.